welcome to a special supplemental for the Strong Style Story Podcast. You can consider this episode 48.5. I am Jeffrey Wessel. With me, fighting through a toothache today, is Chris Damasceno.
Hello again.
And hopefully I'm not, we're not going to go too long, so he doesn't have to deal with this. Anyway, so we're recording a special supplemental because, of course, as is our destiny, things got a lot of things happened after we posted the last episode, which you can still hear on the Pro Wrestling Only Board podcast feed. But there were a couple of major things that we decided we really do kind of needed to discuss that came from those announcements. Not the least of which is the departure of Yujiro Kushida, who of course we know as, you know, all caps Kushida, you know, the junior ace of the company. Well, not any longer, as he has decided to put in his notice, and his last match will be on the 29th of January, you know, working with, you know, during the Road to New Beginning tour, will be against, in a singles match, against Hiroshi Tanahashi. So, go ahead.
Sorry, the fact that it took this dire of a measure to finally get a singles match between him and Tanahashi again, I think it speaks out to just, I won't say disappointment, but I'll say untapped potential when it comes to Kushida and his New Japan run.
Yeah, I mean, and let's face it, I mean, it was fair enough that, you know, he built himself up as the junior ace, and it was a well-deserved position, too, for quite a mm-hmm. long time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it really seemed like he was ready to move up. And I mean, there have been rumors for years of him, you know, this is the year that he's going to be in G1 Climax.
Mm-hmm.
And he never was.
Nope.
But and I know there were, you know, a lot of bad takes about, well, you know, he's too short to be, you know, he's too short to be, you know, heavyweight. Wait, we're talking about a company that lets guys just up and declare that they're joining the heavyweights.
Yeah, it's a dumb take, and I'm not sure why it made its rounds across the internet. But then again,
well, because it was spread by, you know, a major outlet.
Their major? Wow. That's...
Wow, okay. Well, I mean, you know, I know they're kind of competition for us here at the Pro Wrestling Only Board, but it's too early to do the ad plug. But
I just think if the takes are this just uninformed to begin with, that it kind of makes you look like kind of like a hack.
Sugarcoat
it at this
point. Yeah, never mind the fact that, like, you know, half of, you know, that most of New Japan's, you know, heavyweights are under 6 feet. You know,
or slightly over at most.
Or slightly
most part,
over.
Really, the taller ones are like Okada's 6'3".
He's not. Okada is not 6'3", because I stood eye to eye with him work heights. I was like, yeah, there is no fucking way Kazuchika Okada is actually 6'3", because I stood eye to eye with him, and I'm 5'11".
Again, so, it's just one of those things where it's over-exaggeration more often than not in terms of height and size, and with a guy like Kushida, with his moveset, he is able to make things work against just about anybody with the way that he attacks the arm and the way he builds up to his moves involving that.
I remember sequences between Kushida and Okada that was like, damn, why can't we get a singles match between these two?
Yeah, seriously. And again, when we talk about the open week division and how sort of pigeonholed guys were in that, or how the division was sort of turning into like gimmicky-ass depending on what champions you were going through it, I still do think that Kushida should have had a run with that title, really built up that open weight thing long before Ostrich came through.
Yeah, no, I'm with you because the never open weight belt somehow became the, you know, the ass kickers belt, you know, and there's a style to the never belt. No, there really shouldn't be because, you know, what's that word, open weight, you know? But I mean, like I said, let's face it, guys declare themselves heavyweights all the damn time out of the blue in New Japan, you know? So why Kushida couldn't have been extended this courtesy is beyond me, but, you know, things are what they are, and here we are now. He is leaving the company. It's, January 29th is his final match in the company, special singles match against the IWGP Heavyweight Champion Hiroshi Tanahashi. We don't know for sure where he's going. I know that there was some talk that WWE was in for him. And so, I mean, who knows where he'll actually end up. I will say he will be missed.
Definitely.
Because he is one of the most consistent performers in the company. And, you know, his team with Alex Shelley, of course, you know, the time splitters. You know, for Alex Shelley to, you know, kind of move beyond the Motor City Machine Guns for a while and actually, you know, be in another classic tag team, you know, like that. So, you know, Kushida had a lot to do with that. And now, you know, of course, Alex Shelley is now retired, and who knows what. I mean, we don't even know what Kushida is actually going to do.
Yeah, we don't know that as of yet either. So it's very much a wait and see approach after the final match does happen. But yeah, I wish him luck regardless of where he goes.
Yeah, some of the wording of it said he was retiring from New Japan, which tells me, I mean, you can read that a couple of ways. Either he's walking away, or, you know, he's just, you know, going elsewhere. He also said he was going overseas. So, mm-hmm. I mean, who knows? Who really knows what could happen here? So, no, but I think this is going to be a major loss. Honestly, I think it's going to be more of a loss than the other one that they say is leaving is Kenny Omega.
Yeah, but then again, 2 years ago in a similar situation contract-wise, there was a lot of hearsay and kind of a similar interview as well with Omega before he showed back up in New Japan months later. I think this time it seems a little more definite that he is going somewhere else. We just don't know where exactly. There's no official announcement yet.
Yeah, right. And New Japan did not make that announcement. It was in Tokyo Sports, which, you know, let's face it, we all know Tokyo Sports. They will help angle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Before, so and there was a lot of angled language in that retirement interview, because if you take you know, how Kushida was leaving and what Kenny Omega was saying, Kenny Omega was totally kayfabing it. What he was saying, well, I can't change the world if I'm not the best, and, you know, clearly I'm not the best. You know, clearly I can't be the guy to hold the torch for this company, whereas Kushida was just like, yeah, you know, I've hit a wall, and
I'm gonna go now, thanks.
It's time to move on, you know? So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it was completely, the language was completely worked in the Tokyo Sports thing. And then, you know, mere days later, you know, All Elite Wrestling held their rally.
Yes.
And one name, I mean, they rattled off a whole bunch of names. They rattled off Joey Janela, they rattled off, you know, Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian. They rattled off Chris Jericho is going to be there
now. Mm-hmm.
But one name noticeably absent from this announcement was Kenny Omega.
Yeah. So I believe with Kenny, his whole situation is that the contract with him is still until the 31st of this month, so they can't really.
Right, but
do
so is
anything.
Kushida's.
Yeah.
So is Kushida's.
Yeah, but then again, even with Kushida, we haven't heard officially where he's going after. We just know that the language with his is, you know, he's outright leaving in that situation.
Okay, and that's true, and that's true. Either way, but yeah, I mean, who the hell knows what's actually going to happen?
It's a wait and see until February at this point, really.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going. I mean, yeah, he wasn't announced as part of the All Elite, which, you know, hey, it's only the company named for the unit that he started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you know why? Why wait for that? But, you know, who knows? I mean, again, this is because he announced it in Tokyo Sports, I think we could all guess that, yeah, this is probably going to be completely worked.
Mm.
And but we'll see. I mean, I guess we'll see what happens. Again, I'm gonna posit that I think Kushida is gonna be a bigger loss than Kenny Omega down the road.
Yeah, long term, you can definitely make the argument on that, I would think.
Yeah, but you know, things are what they are. So, I mean, again, we're gonna find out sooner or later. But I mean, we're just saying that these were the announcements. One of the other announcements that was made at that presser, Kota Ibushi, of course, has been concussed, and they're keeping him out of the lineups for now.
Smart, especially given how that happened. So this is fine.
So thanks, Will. thanks for that. And lastly, here's something that we didn't see coming. The retirement of Takayuki, now Takashi Iizuka. At age 52.
Yeah, that one did come out a little bit out of left field, so it makes it interesting how they're going to make the decision to handle that one, whether it's a situation of, are they going to kick him out of Suzuki Gun before that so he can do, like, the retirement thing solo, or are they going to retire him while still as Suzuki Gun and have kind of like a big tag match to kind of send him off type of thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that will be interesting, but I mean, it's just interesting that at age 52 he's hanging it up, and I mean, let's say that he hasn't really done much, you know, at all in the last, you know, we'll say 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think he might have been like the only member of Suzuki Gun when they did that Noah invasion that didn't actually hold a title.
Yeah, but he had a role to play, so he just played it for the most part the past couple of years.
Oh yeah, I mean, he had a role to play for sure, but I mean, it wasn't like he wasn't doing anything of consequence either.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at least, yeah, it just makes you wonder. I mean, we got like a lot of guys that are pushing that 50 mark or above that 50 mark. You know, Suzuki, Nagata, Nakanishi, Tenzan and Kojima. I mean, how long are they going to be around at this point?
Yeah, that's a very good question.
But so yeah, and of course, you know, we will always finally remember Iizuka for the not one but two shoot incidents.
Yep,
that he ended up on the right side, on the winning side of.
Yep, that much is true.
And we actually talked about that in an early episode of Strong Solid History. I can't remember which episode number off the top of my head. It was the one where we covered the Hashimoto versus Naoya Ogawa feud.
Yeah,
because it was adjacent to all that. But and yeah, Iizuka at this point isn't a huge loss. But I mean, when you consider he was with New Japan his entire career, you know, debuting in 1986. And just as a point of trivia, he was the debut opponent for Minoru Suzuki when he first came on the scene in 1988.
Mm-hmm. So, a lot of history there for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's been around. I mean, he's held titles, but he hasn't really been of any consequence either for a long time. So, but I mean, yeah, it'll be interesting. And so that retirement show will actually be on February the 21st. That's going to be a New Japan Road show. And oddly enough, one in Tokyo, because usually the New Japan Road shows are the ones where they go to places like they don't usually hit, like Okinawa and what have you. And there is one in Okinawa on the 26th of February, but this time they're actually going to show this one from Corken Hall, so we get to see the retirement ceremony. That's like two retirement ceremonies in the span of a year, because remember they just did
Superstar Machines.
Yeah, they just did Junji Harada's not too long ago.
Yeah, it's getting to that point where a lot of these guys are hitting that plateau in that portion of their careers where they might decide to call it. It's going to get real emotional though when you start seeing like the Kojimas and Tenzans and Nagatas deciding to finally call it. Like,
or Suzuki's for that matter.
Yeah.
You know. But then again, I mean, we just saw, you know, elsewhere, I mean, you know, a contemporary of Suzuki's from the Pancrase days, Masakatsu Funaki just had a 35th anniversary.
True.
Show, so, I mean, wow, I mean, that's...
Suzuki probably would be the kind of guy who would just, like, stubbornly fight Mother Nature until he's, like, 70-something and then decides to finally call it.
Well, did you see who else is retiring at the tender age of 78?
No.
Abdullah the Butcher.
Huh.
That's going to be at that that Giant Baba Memorial.
Oh.
Which let's touch on that for a second, because there's going to be... I got some info about what's happening there, because there is going to be New Japan stuff there.
Yeah, I did hear, like, they've gotten the talents, but not anything card-specific yet. So,
yeah, here's the card so far. Here's this. So, yeah, this is the... this is the Giant Baba Memorial Show, and we finally have some information on that, because it's also going to dovetail into the actual retirement ceremony for Abdullah the Butcher. Old Larry Shreve is finally hanging it up at 78. But so here's all the companies that are involved with this first. It's going to be, you know, All Japan, of course. New Japan will be involved. So will Noah, Wrestle One, and Big Japan. Now, why this is interesting for those three, Noah and Wrestle One, of course, were both breakaways from All Japan. And, you know, Noah especially was coming, you know, in the days immediately following the death of Giant Baba. Well, I guess there was a year in between. But, I mean, it just kept compounding, you know, the conflicts between Mitsuharu Misawa and Mintoko Baba. Just kept compounding and compounding. Big Japan, of course, was founded by former All Japan wrestler the great Kojika, Shinya Kojika, and featured Abdullah the Butcher a lot in its earliest years. And they formed in, like, 1995 or so, if I remember correctly. So, but anyway, now only three matches have been announced. They're all tag matches. It should be noted that I think, Chris, you alluded to this last episode, that both Triple Crown Champion Kento Miyahara and Big Japan World Strong Heavyweight Champion Daisuke Sekimoto say that they want to face Hiroshi Tanahashi at this show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, that was before Tanahashi regained the IWGP title. But, I mean, with you know, promotional champions facing each other, this could be a political nightmare.
Very true, yeah. I thought it was already kind of a more of a wish than anything else, especially given that at the time that those requests were made, both Kento and Daisuke already had their championships in question. But now with Tana having the IWGP Heavyweight Championship too, that would just be, as you mentioned, kind of way too many minds to navigate around just to try to make something like it happen. So,
I mean,
I don't see it, even though I would love to see any of these matches happen.
Yeah, I think the only way they could potentially make this, you know, less of a political nightmare is if you have, like, the GHC champion. I think it's still, it's Kaito Kiyomiya.
Yes.
Involved in this, too.
I mean, hey, Kaido's been doing some really good stuff the past couple of months here, like, since coming back from excursion and winning, so.
Yeah, so, but anyway, here are the three matches that we know of. The first one is Masanobu Fuchi, old man Fuchi. When's he gonna retire, for God's sake?
Who knows?
Yuma Aoyagi of All Japan, and another person we're gonna be wondering, when is he ever gonna retire? Yoshiaki Fujiwara. they'll be taking on a Suzuki-gun team of Taichi Taka and Yoshinobu Kanemaru in that match. Yeah, let's talk about retirements. When is Fujiwara going to hang it up?
Who knows at this point with some of these guys?
He still scares me.
Mm-hmm.
that armbar, yeah, that armbar is no joke. One of the other matches that's been announced so far, an All Japan team of Jake Lee and Koji Iwamoto will be in a three-way tag match against Sonata and Bushi, and Ayato Yoshida and Shota Umino.
Nice that Shota gets a spot on this card.
And Ayato Yoshida, for that matter.
Yeah, mm-hmm, definitely.
What is New Japan going to pull the trigger and actually sign him? Because it's clear that they want to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they keep using him.
Yeah, I'm wondering at this point if there's just something preventing it, or whether they're just kind of waiting a little bit longer because they can't afford to wait. So, yeah,
maybe. And then the last match announced so far, this is going to be one for us 90s pro heads, Chris. Jun Akiyama, Takao Mori, and Taiyo Kea against Satoshi Kojima, Yuji Nagata, and Osamu Nishimura.
Yeah, this should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that one ought to be a good one. So there's that. So yeah, that's going on. Of course, Fantastic Mania started. And yep. One thing we didn't know going in, several New Japan guys were going to resurrect their old characters.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you have Kyosuke Mikami, you know, El Desperado as Namahagwe again.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know how he's getting away with that, because he actually did legitimately lose his mask.
It's just for a tour, I guess. So
yeah, like, and he's not doing it. I guess he's not doing it in Mexico either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
So it is hilarious. The post match interviews with him already talking about, like, you need to understand Spanish in order to enjoy Fantastic Mania.
Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty funny.
I actually showed this to a friend of mine, and she said, "Why does he look like Brock from Space Goes Coast to Coast?"
He kind of, like, totally does, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just like, wow, that actually is, wow.
Oh, no. That's 100% true. He really kind of does.
Like, I'm more stunned because I'm like, wow, that's, wow, okay. Yeah, that definitely does, I can see it.
But then you also have, you know, Sho and Yo back as Raijin and Fujin, but they're wearing the masks that they never actually wore in Mexico.
Yeah, no, and that has been a nice treat, definitely.
Yeah, and in fact, they would, even though they started out with those pants, mm-hmm. they started out with them, but they would soon change those.
Right.
Like, they wore something else, like, not too long afterwards. So, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a strange case. There's not too many title matches on this tour. In fact, there's only one title match on this tour. And it's on the last day. It's the Mexican National Trios, in which the Nueva Generación Dinamitas will defend the Mexican National Trios Championship. That's Sansón Cuatrero and Forastero against Atlantis, Titán, and Ángel de Oro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's also a on the last day, they're also running this weird, you know, they're doing a family tag tournament. Because it's not exactly brothers this time.
Right, doing a family tournament where the winners are facing Ultimo and Gran Guerrero.
Yeah, who won the brothers tag tournament last year. Yeah, and because it's not exactly completely brothers, because Volador and Flyer are cousins. And of course, you know, Atlantis and Atlantis Jr. are father and son. What did you think of Atlantis Jr.? In his debut match,
I thought he looked really nice for his debut match under the Atlantis Jr. bit.
Yeah, because we all know, even though CMLL is pushing that this was his actual debut, it's not really the case, because he's been working in the indies as Tiburon.
Yeah, no, he looked really nice.
He did. I mean, he looked just fine. I thought that there was a towards the end of that match, he did that quebradora on Okumura. I thought he kind of fluffed that a little bit, but
I think and I think that was more at that point either a combination of nerves or just trying to get through the move a little too quickly. But otherwise, really minor stuff in terms of what to look at. For the most part, he looked the part that he needed to, which is a perfectly good start for him.
Well, which is good, because I'm sure CMLL has big plans for him.
Yeah, definitely.
So, but in the meantime, yeah, so there's that, and also on the last day of Fantastica Mania, a special tag match for surrounding my dad is a heel wrestler.
Yep.
Which tells me that we might be close to when the home video may be coming out.
Yeah, I think it seems like it would be promotion towards that end. I mean, it's going to be a fun tag just on the basis of the people who are involved in it altogether. So.
Right. Well, and plus they're going to be, you know, in different characters. So the solicited match is Dragon George and Sweet Gorilla Mariyama versus Gokiburi Mask and Ginbei Mask. Chris, you had to tell me this, so why don't you go ahead and reveal who that actually is?
Right, so in this situation, it is going to be a team of Kazuchika Okada and Togi Makabe against Hiroshi Tanahashi and Ryusuke Taguchi.
Yeah, which sounds like a hoot, honestly.
Yeah, no, it really does. I'm actually really intrigued, just because not only do we get the Okada-Tana interaction a little bit more, but we get it under their movie characters, which should mean a couple of slight different things with some of the usual stuff, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be fun. I mean, and mind you, I haven't even seen, you know, I haven't seen the movie. So, I mean,
have not, but I've heard good things about it, actually.
Is that right?
Because it's a book adaptation, I believe, is what it was.
Wait, it's a children's book adaptation. Yes. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, they're trying to go for, like, a, you know, G to light PG, you know,
of course, rating. Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, you know, I raise kids, so I know the value of those types of movies. So, you know, but yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting, and you know, I'm glad that in the picture they showed that, you know, the fake New Japan belt, that Okada will probably be wearing to this. And then, yeah, so, I mean, so that tour is going on, and then we're going to kind of whip through a little bit, New Beginning, because I don't know if I'm going to be able to record a show before the New Beginning tour starts because of scheduling conflicts.
Yep, let's run through it then.
The Road 2 tour, we already know that, you know, on the 29th, there's going to be, you know, Kushida's farewell match.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The day before, on the 28th, is an elimination match between the Ingobernables and Suzuki-Gun.
Yep. Boy.
Yeah, which, you know, those are usually pretty fun. Here's a weird one. On the 30th, they're really big upping this show in Miyagi in Sendai on the 30th.
Yeah,
because not only are there going to be two special single matches in prep for the IWGP Junior, the forthcoming IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Belt matches, so yeah. That's going to be Bushi versus El Desperado, and then Shingo against Kanemaru. But there's also another another openweight six-man comedy match.
Yeah.
And once again, it's going to be Tama Tonga, Tangaloa, and Ishimori defending against Makabe, Toriano, and Ryusuke Taguchi.
Which I think I can understand from a logistic standpoint that the reason for that is because obviously Chase and Yujiro got themselves involved in the original title shot to begin with.
Right.
But yeah, it is intriguing that they're putting, you know, three highlight-type matches in this particular show. So.
And it's not, well, no, I mean, it's not. That alone isn't the interesting part. The interesting part is that this is not on New Japan World schedule. This isn't on the NJPW World schedule.
Huh.
That's... So I'm wondering if maybe we'll get like a tape delay of at least a title match, probably. Which sucks, because I would like to see the two special single matches, because Bushi and Desperado tend to have good matches. And then, you know, this would be Shingo's only second singles match in New Japan. So, and then as far as the rest of the tour goes, on the 9th at, you know, in Osaka, there's another elimination match before the New Beginning in Osaka. It's the combined Sekigun and Chaos team of Tanahashi, Okada, Makabe, Yano, and Taguchi against a Bullet Club team of Jay White, Bad Luck Fale, Tama Tonga, Tangaloa, and Taiji Ishimori. But then if we get to the actual New Beginning cards, this first day there really isn't much. There's a couple of special single matches, Sonata and Suzuki and Evil against Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah.
Finally getting that match, you know, that match that got, you know, ruined by Chris Jericho back at, what was it? That was King of Pro Wrestling, wasn't it?
I believe so, yes.
Was that King of Pro Wrestling or was that, was that one of the Destruction shows? I can't remember.
I think it was King of Pro Wrestling.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, so we finally get that one, and there's, a special tag match between Tanahashi and Okada against Jay White and Fale. But then the next day is, you know, we predicted the junior heavyweight tag, the heavyweight tag, and the intercontinental tags, or the intercontinental championships. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all in Gobernables versus Suzuki-gun.
Yeah.
Which we predicted that on the show. So the interesting thing about these dates is that they finally made official that show in Nashville.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they also said going into it that, you know, the folk that are going to be in Sapporo are not, you know, folk that are scheduled to be in Sapporo are not going to be on the U.S. tour. Well, if you look at who's booked for Sapporo, it's like all the major players.
Pretty much.
So, I mean, I think that the unfortunately, the best we're going to be able to hope for is that Juice and Trent Beretta IWGP US match.
I definitely think that's probably main eventing one of those shows for sure.
Well, it has to at this point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We finally maybe get that Goto and Cobb singles rematch that we never got because that was supposed to happen at Lions Break. That got postponed. And then maybe possibly that Nagata Ishii singles match that was teased at New Year Dash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But and then, you know, you look at the news today. I mean, I put it up on the blog, strongstylestory.tumblr.com. And Juice Robinson has formed a new unit in Ring of Honor called Lifeblood, and it features like a bunch of, you know, debutantes. It features a bunch of debutantes now in Ring of Honor, including Bandido, Mark Haskins, and Hot Sauce Tracy Williams.
Yep.
So there's a possibility Bandido may be showing up in the New Japan ring sooner than we thought.
Yeah, I think this just about confirms that at this point that they're going to be involved in some way, shape or form with these U.S. tours, and good on them.
Yeah.
Bandido deserves all the success that
he does.
Can get, and then some.
Yeah, he does. And I think Juice even said in his promo that he wasn't planning on being there for, quote, a cup of coffee. I mean, it sounds like that maybe Juice and Finley are going to be there longer term, which is maybe good for them because they're kind of lost in the shuffle right now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Let them get themselves established. Let Juice, again, have all the defenses of the U.S. title within U.S. soil, honestly, at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what the belt should have been to begin with. I'm not sure why in the, like, yeah, you know.
Things happen, plans change, but
yeah.
No, I'm excited for these guys. Hot Sauce is a really good technician as well. I've always enjoyed Mark Haskins' work.
Bandito's one of my absolute favorites right now.
Mm-hmm.
David Finley
finally gets to do stuff that isn't staying in the lower card in New Japan, so that's also exciting for him. So
yeah, and that's good for. I mean, he's like the only one that hadn't of that class that never had an excursion too.
Yeah, so this is kind of it basically starting up for him now. In a way,
you know what? And as much as I shit on Ring of Honor, I will say this: as random as this unit seems. Which, let's face it, it's pretty fucking random.
Yeah, it's fairly random, yeah.
I'm going to praise the fact that Tennille Dashwood is part of this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think more women being... I mean, if you have a promotion where you do have men and women wrestling, I think more women should be involved in units.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be a mix of pretty much everybody involved, especially if you're fighting for championships and domination and the like. It makes sense to have somebody that represents every single division that you've got in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and nobody does this. I mean, and absolutely nobody does this. I mean, I think there. Yeah, you really should have women be part of units if you have women in your company, you know, as active competitors.
Yep.
So yeah, so I mean, like I said, as much as I shit on Ring of Honor, and as much and as random as this seems, I actually kind of like that aspect of it. Although I will say, Bandido just looked confused in the photos I saw.
I mean, to be fair, his English is still not very strong. He's still gradually learning it. I can speak from that as an actual witness to it. But most of his talking gets done in the ring anyway. So
yeah, true. But I mean, just. The pictures I saw, he just looked confused. I don't think he actually knew what he was doing.
Which I'm here.
Well, I am going to say, I think it's still pretty shitty that they didn't grab Flamita to keep that team going, and to keep Mesa Blood going. Yeah,
and I'm really curious in regards to Flamita, whether it's a situation where if it might have been an injury issue, because he had the bout out of this PWG show coming up. Laredo Kid is filling in for him.
I didn't know that. What date is that?
Coming up this next Friday on the 18th, yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Well, okay, but at the same time, you can still... I mean, the people have signed guys who have been injured before.
Yeah, I'm aware. I'm just curious as to what exactly led to the circumstances where they yayed Bandido, but they nod on Flamita, whether that was
his choice. You know what I'm going to say? You know what my guess is? My guess is that Flamita wasn't at all in, is what it is.
That is true.
So they couldn't get a name. So they couldn't get a name. A name bump from Flamita. So, but they could Bandido. But anyway, just around the. So I mean, the New Beginning USA shows. I don't know if we're gonna be able to podcast about them before they happen, just because of scheduling. But, just stay tuned to the blog, strongstylestory.tumblr.com. I still don't know if I'm going to go to Nashville. A lot of it's going to depend on if the card's good or not. And the tickets for that go on sale Tuesday. But a lot of that's going to depend on whether or not the card's any good for me. But the last New Beginning show will be in Osaka on the 11th of February. The main events here. Oh, we have the last four matches. The most violent players against Gorillas of Destiny. Makabe and Yano against Tama Tonga Tangaloa. The IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. Taiji Ishimori against Ryusuke Taguchi. Cobb's made a case that this year's Fantastica Mania is not so much a CMLL show, oriented show. And I think the fact that they're doing the build up to Taguchi and Ishimori during Fantastica Mania maybe makes that case.
Seems to be a sign of it, yeah.
Yeah, that it seems like it's a lot of guesting wrestlers, but it doesn't seem like it's like we get the CML dream matches that they don't usually do in Arena Mexico. But they would pull it out, especially for, the Japanese audiences. But I don't know. I mean, the show on Friday was still fun, though. So, I mean, no getting around that. There's a special singles match as the semi-main. It's, Kazuchika Okada against Balak Fale. And then main event will be the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. Hiroshi Tanahashi defending against Jay White.
Yep.
And that'll be good, I think.
Yeah, they've had fun matches so far. Outside of the Wrestle Kingdom one, where a lot of it was just more acclimating Jay back into the fold and us not really understanding the whole Switchblade thing ever since they've had fantastic bouts against each other. So
that match at Wrestle Kingdom 12 was not good. I mean, that was, and I felt bad, but it just wasn't good. And thankfully they spent the better part of a year building that back up. So I mean, it finally worked in the end. So, that's pretty much it. Although I do want to make mention of one last odd item that I blogged about. On March 30th, Tetsuya Naito will be in Costa Rica wrestling for the Costa Rica Wrestling Embassy is the name of the promotion. Their fifth anniversary show. And along with joining Naito will be Shigeo Okumura.
Yeah, Okumura kind of like worked a very odd booking for them there, but okay.
Yeah, well, it's just funny. Now, I don't know if they're going to be teaming with each other, because as we all know, Naito famously turned on Okumura on an episode of CML Informa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When La Sombra, La Sombra pretty much ate Okumura's lunch right in front of him and took Naito to Los Ingobernables, and, well, the rest, as they say, is history.
Pretty much.
That was one of the greatest Informa bits ever. Which, if you haven't seen it, it's on YouTube, so
but look, we have it linked on Strong Style Story at Tumblr.com.
Oh yeah, we do. Yeah, I did link it on the. Of course, you know what's even better was the next Arena Mexico show when they formally introduced Naito in a match, and Naito cuts a trilingual promo.
Yes, I do recall that.
Yeah.
But speaking of checking out that clip on YouTube or checking out the blog at strongstylestory.tumblr.com, you can also check out prowrestling.com to explore other podcasts along with match reviews, features, and retrospectives. Didn't think I was going to work that one into it, did you?
No, I didn't see that coming.
Reviews of wrestling books, video games and matches, playlists, wrestler appearances in non-wrestling TV shows and movies, and a whole lot more. You can also join a conversation by signing up at the PWF forums. We've been online for over a decade, and with over 2,000 registered members and an archive of over 4 million threads, our message board is a vibrant community all in its own. Whether you want to talk about a specific match in our match discussion archive, take a deep dive in the Microscope forum, or discuss more general topics from wrestling's past and present, you can check out all of that and more at www.prowrestlingonly.com.
Wow.
Nailed it.
You nailed it. We didn't even stumble over the Microscope forum bit this time.
Yeah, for once. That ended up working. Anyways, apologies, folks. We had to show accordingly, which is fine by us. They give us hosting space.
We could throw the plug in at some point.
Yeah, hosting space is expensive. Take it from somebody who knows that very well.
Anyway, I think we're done. I mean, we pretty much got through everything we wanted to. This is kind of a special supplemental episode, as I said.
48.5.
Yeah, 48.5, because, you know, we had to make up for the fact that, you know, they announced stuff. And then also, I don't know if we're going to be able to actually get a show in before the new beginning starts. Yep, so
that's cool. It is.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean... And like I said, as far as updates on the New Beginning USA shows, you know, we do have the blog, as Chris has already plugged twice, I think in one breath. He plugged it twice in one breath, actually.
Yep.
In other words, you can find me at Strong Style Story without the E in Style on Twitter. My personal account is at GD Wessel. That's 2 S's 1 L. I also do another podcast called Busting Balls about soccer and Euro footy and all that. You can find that soundcloud.com/busting-balls. And you can follow me on Twitter at Busting Balls Pod. And of course, this show is carried on by Pro Wrestling Only, which is now on SoundCloud. Although I have not had a chance to check it out on SoundCloud yet.
There you go.
So, and Chris, you're fighting a toothache, but where do we find you?
No, you are fine. For me, it's just plain and simple. You can just go on Twitter and Instagram at Brazilian Fury. That's Brazilian with an S instead of a Z.
So,
simple enough.
Yeah. It may be we're going to try to do a show soon. I don't know if we can get it, because I'm actually going to be, the next conceivable day we could have recorded. I'm actually coming back from AAW in Chicago, so I don't think I can squeeze it in. But you know, it's cool. You know where to find us, and we'll be here, and you know, listen to you know the other fine podcasts at hit the Pro Wrestling Only feed. So, Chris, do you have any last words?
No, I do not.
Okay, well, thanks for listening to this little supplemental episode, and we'll be back when we can. So, until then, take care. Goodbye.